Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nedarim, daf Peihei. Begin on the second line down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had quoted from the halacha of our Mishnah and asked seemingly a contradiction in that halacha. That is, the Mishnah said, if a person takes a neder, that Kahanim and Levim are forbidden to have a nafami, where, and that includes their trumas and maestras, so that the Mishnah said, Yitla karchan, they could take against the will of the one who's taking the neder, although that person's making the Kahanim and Levim forbidden. However, that doesn't work because it's not their Truma Meiser, it's the Kahanim's and Levim's Truma Meiser. Now, one thing the Gemara pointed out from that is obviously you see that Toibas HaNoah, although the owner, however, the one who's making the nether, has the rights to choose which Kahanim and Levi it goes to, but that's not moment, that doesn't have a monetary aspect to it, and therefore that would not be considered when the Kohen chooses to take it against a person by force, is that he's not taking, he's not having a no, it's not a violation of the nether. Because although the person could choose, that does not have a monetary aspect, and hence not a violation of the nether, and that's where they could take Baal Karcha. Now the problem with that was, because then the next part of that case says, but if the person said, Kahanim Elu, Levim Elu, if they designated which Kahanim Levim cannot take from the to have enough from him, which would include Trumas and Maaser, then the Halacha actually says that they cannot take, that other Kahanim Levim could take. But why? The Truma and Maaser is not the person's, it's the Kahanim Levim's. So what would be making that those Kahanim, or those Levim, specifically the ones he designated and delineated, forbidden, if not the Toivas HaNoah? Now obviously I mean to say the Toivas HaNoah, the fact that the owner gets to choose who to give it to, has a monetary aspect, and that's why they are forbidden on the nether. That seems to be a contradiction in these two components of this halacha. So then Rav Hoshi wanted to say, you're right, it's a machlekes. There's Rebbe and Rebbe Yishev Rebbe Yehuda, which, as we learned in the Brisa, that regarding if someone steals another person's tevel, so on that, Rebbe says, you have to pay him for the entirety of the tevel, meaning not only the chulin part, the part that's going to be permitted to eat once the trumas and maaser are taken off, but even you have to compensate him for the trumas and maaser as part of it. Why? Because that person has teivas hanah in who to give the trumas and maaser to. And you see, there's a monetary aspect according to Rebbe. Whereas according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, he says, no, you only have to compensate the owner that you stole and ate his tavel from, the chulin part of it. But Trumas HaMaaser, you didn't steal it from him anyway because it wasn't his, it's the Kahanim's and Levim's. And obviously, you see the abuse of Yehuda holds that Toivas HaNoah, the fact that he gets to choose which Kohen Levi to give it to, that there's no monetary aspect to it. And that's the Machlokes in our Mishnah. The Reisha was going like abuse of Yehuda, who says there's no monetary aspect to Toivas HaNoah, therefore they could take it against the person's will, and it's not considered having an HaNoah by taking away his Toivas HaNoah. Whereas the Sefer was going like Rebbe, where there is a Toivas HaNoah, is Mammon, and that's why if he designated for certain people, they're actually going to be forbidden. That was how Rebbe Hoshea proposed to resolve the Halacha of HaMishnah. And now the Gemara rejects that and says, Loi, no, could be that's not a good resolution, because the Kuli Amma, I could tell you that this is not necessarily the Machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda, because actually they both hold that Toivas HaNoah ain't a Mammon. They both agree that actually the fact that you could choose who to give it to does not give you a monetary component in that element. Now, Elahacha, but here, the machlekes of Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda is b'matanis shlo hurmukom efugi. They're arguing on regarding a different halacha, regarding the matanis, the gifts of Trumas HaMaaser, which were not yet taken off, because we're talking about in tevel, in here, in this untithed produce, has the chulin part and the Trumas HaMaaser part, but it wasn't taken off yet. Rebbe holds, since the Trumas HaMaaser were not taken off yet, so then essentially they're not Trumas HaMaaser's. So therefore they're all like Chulin, now although it's prohibited Chulin, but it's Chulin, and therefore since you didn't take up the Trumas HaMaaser, so that's why the one who ate it has to compensate all of it, even what eventually will be Trumas HaMaaser's, but not because he considers it that the Toivas HaNoah in that Trumas HaMaaser's gives the owner a monetary value. No, it's because we don't look at it as Trumas HaMaaser's yet. And therefore, we look at it as all chulin, and therefore you have to compensate him for everything. Whereas the Begeis of Rebbe Yehuda, he holds that no, that even though the matanis, the trumas and maisis, weren't hurbo yet, weren't taken off yet, we view it as if it was taken off. And therefore, since we explained according to everybody that the Toivas HaNoah does not have a halacha like mammon, so therefore he has nothing invested in that trumas and maisis, and that's why, according to Rebbe Yehuda, all you have to do is pay him back the chulin component of it. But one thing the Gemara is saying is rejecting the interpretation of Rav Hoshea in our Mishnah, because you can't say that, oh, you're right, this machlekes in our Mishnah, where of these two halachas, which is dependent on if you say Toivas HaNoah is mammon or not, is the machlekes Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi, which is not true. The Gemara wants to say maybe everybody holds that Tevis and Noah is not Mamet, which would therefore work for the halacha of the Reisha of the Mishnah, which is when she made it forbidden to everyone on all kind of levim, and still they could take it because there's no Mamet. But that would still be difficult, the halacha of the Sefer. Why would it work when you say Kanama Elo Levim Elo? Because even Rebbe holds that Tevis and Noah is not Mamun. The only reason why you have to compensate him for all of it is not because of the Tevis and Noah you have in Trumas and Maisis, because it's not Trumas and Maisis yet. It's like all one big chulun. Now on that interpretation of the one who's rejecting the Raya of Hoisha, the Gemara asks, wait, the Tevis and Noah ain't a Mamun, if you're saying that everyone agrees that the ability to choose who you give it to is not a monetary factor, well then Mali Humu, Mali Loi Humu. Now what is the difference if the Trumas and Maisa were taken off yet or not? And the reason being is because since you're telling me that your ability to choose who it goes to does not give you an invested part in this produce, so then why, if you're saying that if it wasn't yet Humu, if it wasn't yet elevated, it wasn't yet designated, separated, Trumas and Maisa from this, that should make it, according to Rebbe, that it's all chulin, but why? Essentially, it's like the Kanan and Levim's Trumas and Maisis are somewhere mixed in over here, because you have nothing invested in it. If you would say at least that Tevis and Noah is Mammon, so you have some type of investment over here. It is on some level yours. So therefore, until it's separated, you could say, okay, so it's not theirs yet, because you didn't designate which one's Trumas and Maisis, and you do have somewhat of investment in it too. So if we'll say it's Ochun, but if you're saying that according to everybody, Tevis and Noah is not Mammon, so the Trumas and Maisis has nothing to do with you. Although you can get to choose, but monetarily we don't view it as anything financially related to you. So it's all the Kanan Levim. It's just somewhere mixed in over here. If it's mixed in, who cares that you weren't Hurmurid yet? Who cares that you didn't separate it? But it's here, it's theirs, it's mixed in. So why, according to Rebbe, according to this interpretation of the one who's rejecting the interpretation of Hoshia, would Rebbe say that you have to compensate him for all of it as if it's Ochun? How can you say it's Ochun if you have nothing with it whatsoever? So Ella Rav, the Gemara says, you're right, that wouldn't be an appropriate interpretation for the Braisa of the Machlekes Rebbe and Reis Behuda, but still we can have a different interpretation, which again would still reject Rav Hoisha's interpretation, because they're not arguing if you say Tevis and Noah is Mammon or not. Ella rather, that as the Gemara is proposing now, that the Gemara, that the interpretation of the Braisa is not going to reflect, which therefore, it's not going to help Rav Hoshea for the interpretation of our Mishnah, if we hold Tevis and Noah as Mammon or not. But rather, Heiner time of the Rebbe, the reason of Rebbe is, in other words, if, and that is what the Gemara is saying right now, is we can explain their Machlekes unrelated to Tevis and Noah as Mammon or not. And we can explain it on either option. Whether you say Tevis and Noah as Mammon or not, we could still explain their Machlekes. And that is, if you say Tevis and Noah is not Mammon, so obviously that makes sense according to Bryis Rebbe Huda, and that is why you only compensate the owner that you consume this table as untithed produce from the chulin parts, because the trumas and maisis parts, he has nothing invested over there. Now, but then the question would be, so what would be the reasoning of Rebbe? So Rav Hoshea originally proposed, he said, because Rebbe holds, Tevis and Noah is Mammon. And that is what the Gemara is saying, no. The reason of Rebbe is, because Kansur Rabbanu Laganav, the rabbis penalize the thief, that he should have to pay the Tevis and Noah, the Trumas and Maisis that the Balabais would have had. And why? Not because there's a monetary component over here. Just a penalty. So that I shouldn't steal. So we penalized him and made it more severe on him. Now, and then the Gemara says the other way around. And if both of them actually hold Tevis and Noah is Mammon, so obviously that would make sense according to Rebbe, since there's a monetary component, you have to compensate him for the Trumas and Maisis part two, which is the words that he says over there, Mishalm Loi Dmei Tivloi. You have to pay him the whole monetary value of the untithed produce. Now, but Rabbi Yehuda Savi, he would hold that the reason why you only pay the Dmei Chulin of it and not Trumas and Maisis is the other way around, because Kansur Rabban Labal Abayis, that the rabbis actually penalize the homeowner, that he should only get compensated for the Chulin part and not for the Tevis and Noah of the Mammon that he would have in Trumas and Maisis, that it shouldn't delay his separating of the untithed produce, meaning somebody obviously stole and consumed your untithed produce. Why was it untithed? You got to do it quick. We don't want it to delay. We don't want Tevil to be hanging around, and that's why we penalize it. But you're right. It could be everyone holds Tevis and Noah is not Mammon, and could be like we just said, Tevis and Noah, everyone agrees, is Mammon, but that still wouldn't be a difficulty in Reis Rebbe Huda, because we penalize the owner that, you're right, although it's money, he should get compensated. But that we said no, because we don't want you holding around tevel. So the Gemara continues, so Rav Hirsch's interpretation, who he wants to say that the Mishnah was dependent on the Machlekes Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda and Rebbe, has been refuted. Not necessarily the case. So Rav says that actually the whole entire Mishnah holds that Tovas Anah is Mamet. Now, therefore, that makes sense, the Seifa of the Mishnah, the second case, when the person who made the Neder said, these Kahanim, these Levim, where we said that only others could take, and not those Kahanim, because since there is a monetary component over here, which is regards to which Kahanim and which Levim end up getting it, that's a monetary component. Therefore, the Neder is Chal, it takes effect. Now, but however, the question was, what's with the Reisha? Why is it that Kahanim, if you make the Neder for all Kahanim, all Levim, could they take it, Bal Karche, forcefully? But the question is, how could they take it? Forget about the Truma Maisus, maybe, which is theirs, but there's still a monetary component up here that they're having enough in this person about who he gets to decide who it goes to. And that the Gemara says, Shani Truma. Truma is different. Why? The Heiner time of the Yidla Karcha, the reason why they could forcefully take it from him, although there's seemingly a Toibas, not a monetary component over here, is Mishum de Truma Loichaze Elekan. The reason is very simple. Truma is only fit for Kahanim. And that is, you can't give Truma to a Yisrael, to a non-Kohen. And therefore, V'kivin de ka'asila misra layu, since this person is making a neder, he wants to make the Truma forbidden to all Kahanim, or the Maisa forbidden to all Levim. So Shavia Afra Ba'alma, essentially what he has done, he has made this Truma as dust in the earth. In other words, he has made it totally hefker for the Tevis HaNod that he has in it. Because what's he going to do now? Who are you going to give this to? You said you're not giving it, you took a neder, you're not giving it to any kohen. Okay, so who are you going to give it to? Can't give it to anyone else. No one else could utilize Truma but Kehanim. And therefore, essentially what you did is, like, you made a hefker. You divested yourself from this Truma. And that's why Kahanim could take it. You're right. Usually there is Tevis HaNah, and that would be a monetary component. That would make it forbidden, like when you say Kahanim Elu, because there's still other Kahanim you could give it to. So the Ned, of course, is going to take effect because Tevis HaNah is Mammon. But when you make it forbidden all Kahanim, now you're left with no options. So that totally divests you from the Truma. And that's why Kahanim could go out and take it, because they're not taking it from you. They're taking it from Hefker. Now, actually, even more than this, the Ran says, what from this halacha you can infer, that if someone, let's say, makes certain produce forbidden on himself, Other people could take it forcefully from him. And he can't resist, because although he says that the person could be shoyl on his neder, but right now he hasn't been shoyl on it, and he's forbidden it. So he's divested from the produce. You're divested. So although you didn't make it hefker, but it is essentially like hefker, you have nothing with it, and therefore other people go out and take it. Now, the reason why it says kahanim is because kahanim are the only ones that can take a truma, but essentially it's like hefker. So therefore the Gemara is concluding for the interpretation of our Mishnah that Tevis HaNah is mamon. That's why when you pick specific Kahanim, it's going to be Asa for them. But when you do all Kahanim, so then you have no more options for your Truma, so you're divested, so it's like Hefker, and that's where the Kahanim could go ahead and take it from the person. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of this Perek, of Eilin Nedarim, that what are the Nedarim that a woman makes that her husband or her father can be made for such a Neder? So the Mishnah says, Kainim She'eni Isi Al Pi Abba, if a woman says, Ting a Neder, now, as the Ran interprets it, as a neder always has to be take effect on an object, is that she says, what I'm going to be making, will that object, that money, whatever it is, will be to my father's mouth, like a kohen, like a carbon, meaning a neder, that it's she's making it forbidden to her father. Or v'alpi avicho, to your father, whatever I make, that your father is not getting anything. Or v'alpi achi, or to my brother, or v'alpi achicho, or to your brother. So the Mishnah says, the husband cannot be made for any of these types of nedarim. The reason being is, as we had explained in the beginning of this parak, there's two types of nedarim that he can be made for. One is a neder of inu nefesh, which is afflicting her soul, which is not the case over here. She's not being forbidden anything. She's actually forbidding other people from her stuff. And the other one was things that are dvarm shebeinoy lebina, that affect the relationship, meaning that's between him and her. Here it's not between him and her. It's his father, it's her father, it's other people. And therefore, such a neder he cannot be made for. Now, however, if she says that what I'm going to earn is going to be forbidden to your mouth, so that the Tanna Kama says, he doesn't even have to be made for. And the reason being is because a woman is meshubed, is indebted to her earnings to her husband, and therefore it's not within her right to revoke and to exclude him from what's rightfully his. So therefore, although she said what I'm going to earn is forbidden to you, the husband doesn't have to be made for. It's not yours to be made for when what your earnings are meshubed to me. So the Tanna Kamma says he doesn't have to be Mefer even. Rabbi Akiva Aimer Yafer. Rabbi Akiva says no. The husband should be made for such a neder. Why? Because you're right. Although her maisi daim, there's a certain amount of her earnings that are indebted to the husband. And that, he doesn't have to be made for. It's not even chal a neder. But shema tadef alav yisim in a row, like maybe she's going to earn, it's going to be a high earning month for her. She's going to make more than what's fitting for the husband. In other words, Rabbi Akiva holds that what's called hadafa, which is when she has more than what's the required amount she has to give to the husband. If she earns more than that, on that the neder will take effect. Why? Because she's not mishubit to him to give everything she earns. Rather, it's a certain amount of money, which is explained in Subist of Samachdal Mabeis, which a certain amount of money that the woman makes has to go to the husband, which is a 5 slum worth, as the Gemara there explains. Now, but anything more than that, Rabbi Akiva holds, you would have to be mefer, because if she makes more than that amount, that's going to be hers. Now, however, the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that he could be mefer, because although obviously it's not einu lenefesh, but obviously her forbidding herself to what her earnings, when she makes more than the amount that she has to give to him, that he's, it's forbidden to him, that obviously impacts the relationship. It's between him and her. So therefore, he says you it's not automatically mufar. You would have to be mefer, because that's not meshubet him. But you could be mefer because it's dvam shebeinu lebeina. But the Tanna Kamma wasn't concerned for that, because he holds actually that her hadafa, no matter how much money she makes, is also going to be his. And therefore, again, it's all meshubet him. The Tanna Kamma says that you don't have to be mefer, but Rebbe Akiva says that you should be mefer because you might earn a lot that month, which is not automatically coming to you, and therefore that would be chal, but you could be mefer because it's dvar meshubet neil lebeina. Now, Rebbe Yechman Nuri, in my third opinion, he says yafer. He says like Rebbe Akiva that you should be mefer, but for a different reason. Not because of the increase in her salary, but because shema yigar shena, maybe he's going to divorce her, and then v'tehi asura lo, then she's going to be forbidden to him. He's not going to be able to remarry her. In other words, Rabbi Yechon ben Uri holds, like the Tanna Kamma, that hadafa, meaning even if she makes a lot of money this month, it also goes to the husband. And therefore, because of the concept of hadafa, that, in regards to that, Rabbi Yechon ben Uri would agree to the Tanna Kamma that you don't have to be mefer. The reason why he says you should be mefer such a neder, because maybe he's going to divorce her now. Then the neder is going to take effect. Why? Because when she's divorced, now her earnings are not meshubatim, because it's only meshubat to her husband. Once she's divorced, all her earnings go to her. Now the problem is that then he's going to be forbidden to remarry her. Why? Because now he's forbidden in everything that she makes and that she earns. Now it's impossible to live with a woman that she can't grind for him, she can't bake for him, she can't do any of the works that it says in the Mishnah that a woman does for her husband. She can't do the basics that a woman does, because anything that's our ma'isi dime that she makes, whether monetarily or physically, he can't go ahead and have pleasure from that. So therefore, Rabbi Yechmanuri says, you're right. For now, you're okay. Because anything she's going to do or earn is meshubet to the husband. But once you're going to divorce her, then her ma'isi dime are not meshubet to you anymore. Then they could take effect. Now that it took effect, you're not going to be able to remarry her. And because of that concern, we say that you should be made for it now, to take care of that even when you divorce her, it's not going to take effect. Now, Tanna Kamma argues on Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, either because he holds that you can't do a hafara now, which really there's no hafara, but for only when there's going to be a divorce. Or he argues because the neder itself, to the other way, meaning since it's not taking effect right now, it can't take effect then either. So on either end of Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, you could interpret why the Tanna Kamma would argue, either because the hafar won't work, so that's not a reason to do hafar, because you can't do hafar now for then, or the other way around, actually, because there's no need to do hafar, because the neder won't take effect. Because you can't take, since it's not taking effect now, because now she is meshubatim, so although at 10 months from now, whatever it is, he's going to divorce her, then it's not going to be able to take effect. So therefore, either way, the Tanna Kamma holds, there's no reason to do hafar. Now, just the Ram points out that this machlekes that we're defining in our Mishnah, if the hadafa, if the increase more than what a woman has to give to the husband, if even more than that goes to the husband and not, the Gemara Masechet Ksubos Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph explains that specifically it's talking about hadafa al-yedei hatzchak, meaning that she made a lot of money this month and more than the regular, which is what she has to give to the husband, by pushing herself more than the usual. That is where they argue about if that goes to the husband or not. But either way, that's integral for the interpretation of our Mishnah regarding the Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Tanna Kamma about, and Rabbi Yechon ben Uri agrees to the Tanna Kamma regarding the Hadafa, what do you do with that? Does that go to the husband? And if it goes to the husband, therefore the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri say there's no reason to do hafar. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't, and therefore she might make a lot, and therefore you want to be mefer for that purpose itself. Now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said regarding this three-way machlekes in our Mishnah, he said, Halacha Kriv Yechman Nuri, Halacha Falsh Kriv Yechman Nuri, who he says that the husband should be made for the neder when she made a neder forbidding her Maisi Daim to him, where although that she's Meshubat him, but again, Rabbi Yechman Nuri says that you should be made for, and the reasoning he gave was, of course, maybe there's going to be a divorce, and if there's going to be a divorce, then she will be forbidden, and then he's not going to be able to remarry her. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Lememra, is this to say the Ksavah Shmuel that Shmuel holds? Adu makdish davar shalei b'lo olam. This sounds like the Shmuel holds that a person can make something hektish, could create a hektish even if it's not in the world yet. And the reason being, because if not, since right now her ned is not taking effect, as we said, because whatever she makes is meshuvah to the husband, so then it wouldn't take effect even later after a gerushin. Obviously, from the fact that Rabbi Yechim Menuri holds that you have to go ahead and be made for the neder because of what might happen when there's going to be divorce, obviously the neder is taking effect for then when there's the ability for it to take effect, which is when there would be a divorce. And therefore you see that a person could be makdish, or and essentially the same thing is hektish, which is like a kainim, which is also like a type of a hektish, like making it to the kedusha of a carbon, which is how you create the issa of a neder, that it could be even on something that didn't come yet, which is like now she's married. It's only going to take effect when she gets divorced. So too, you can be makdish something, even if it's not here yet, the hektish will take effect when it does enter reality. Now, that the Gemara asks, but very minimal. But there seems to be a contradiction from a different halacha of Shmuel, which is based on the Mishnah Masechet Ksubos. The Mishnah there says, Hamakdish maisi yedei ishtei. If a husband, he wants to make things, everything's for Hashem, so he goes, and even the earnings of his wife, he says, whatever you're going to earn, all your earnings are going to Hekdesh. It's all for Hashem. It's not for us anymore. It's all for Hashem. So we continue on to Amud Beis. So on that, the Mishnah says, Harezu Oisav Echelas. This doesn't get in the way of the woman. She could continue earning and she could consume it. Doesn't go to Shemayim. It's not going to Hekdesh. Now, those who interpret this halacha over there in Perek Afalpi and Chesam Beis, that even if the husband's supporting her and giving her sustenance, and usually what that means to say is that since he's providing for her, mice then go to him, and therefore if it's his, then he could be makdashit. Still, what the halacha is saying is that she has the right to be mevatel the hektish that he's doing. Why? Because she could be oisav achelis, like the halacha is saying, harizu oisav achelis, she could take her earnings and consume it, which is based on halacha of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says over there that a woman could tell her husband, look, einan ezenis ve'ein oisav, forget about it. You're supporting me, and that's how you're taking my earnings, and you're going to be makdish that? I'm not going to take your support anymore. I'm going to take my earnings and consume that. She has that right. Now, those who argue in Rav Huna over there, they explain the Mishnah that's talking about when he's not supporting her, and that's why she could be oisav echelas. But you're right. If he would be supporting her, then her earnings would be his, and then he would be able to be makdish that. That's that halacha. Now, v'hamayser, but let's say if he's makdish, the excess of her ma'isi daim, meaning more than what we said are the five slum worth of Yehuda of Judea that every woman automatically has to give to the husband. Let's say he's not makdish, he's makdish in excess, whatever she makes more than what she has to give him. So Rameya oime hektish. Rameya said that it's going to be hektish. If the husband's makdish, that it's going to be kaddish. Now Shmuel over there in the Gemara Ksubas explains, it's talking about when the husband is only giving the woman mezainis, which is the basic needs, but he doesn't give her the ma'a kesef, which is a certain amount of money that the Chacham said if he would give her the ma'a kesef, then the ma'aser, the excess, would be his. It's actually talking about that he doesn't give her the ma'a kesef. Hence the ma'aser, that he's makdish now, the excess, is actually not even his. So, but why does Rav Meir say that if the husband's makdish, it's going to be hektish? So that Shmuel explains over there, it's actually not when she's alive that it's going to be hektish. Because when she's alive, then he has no rights in it, because he's not giving her this ma, this coin of kesef. Rather, the hektish is told about after that she dies, where then the husband has the rights of her excess ma'isi daim because of inheritance. And that's so, but that's then. This is now. The reason is because Rav Meir holds that a person could be makdish davar shalei b'lo olam. You're right. Right now she's alive, and he's saying whatever earnings she makes, the meiser, the excess, will be hektish. And although he doesn't, it's not his rights, because he's not giving her the Malkesev, but it's Remeir saying that it's going to be Hekdesh when she dies. And then he inherits that excess, that a person could be Makdesh now, even though it's Shleibel Oilem, meaning it's not his yet, but since he's going to inherit it at one point, when he does inherit it, then it's going to be Hekdesh. For Rabbi Yochanan Sandlo, Imer Chulin, Rabbi Yochanan Sandlo argues, and he holds that no, even though he was Makdesh it now, it's going to be Chulin, because he holds that a person cannot be Makdesh Adavish Shleibel Oilem, since in regards to the husband, it's not his. He hasn't yet inherited it. It's not in his reality yet to have it to be makdish. So therefore, even when he is going to inherit it, he didn't, that hektish that he did then was not effective, and therefore it's not going to be hektish, it's going to be chul. Now, that's the mission over there. Now, but Amar Shmuel says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Amar, what we see from Shmuel is that ain adam makdish davar shelo b'lo'ilam, that a person cannot sanctify something that didn't come to the world, which that's the Halacha Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler that we just described. Now that contradicts Shmuel's other halacha in our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, which we proved that he holds that a person could be makdish adav shalei b'la'ilam. And because that's essentially what's happening over here with Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, regards to the halachas of kainim, where she's making something forbidden of her earnings, which are not yet here yet. So how could she go ahead and do that and make her husband forbidden? And that's why he said that he has to be made for it. But what are you being made for? It wasn't here yet to be able to be made for, unless you say that you could be makdish davar shelo b'la'ilam. And Shmuel saying that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Now that contradicts his halacha like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So the Gemara proposes and said, now, b'chitim, and if you're going to say, no, it's not a difficulty. Ki ka'ama halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, when did Shmuel say in our Mishnah that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? It wasn't in the totality of his halacha. It was only al hadaf uhudakama. It was only regards to the point of contention in our Mishnah regarding that what is the status of the excess of hadafa, of more than the normal amount that she makes. In other words, in regards to what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is arguing with Rabbi Kiva, in other words, Rabbi Kiva said that the husband should be mefer. Why? Isn't all her earnings mishubah to the husband, like the Tanakama? Why do you have to be mefer? So Rabbi Kiva said, you know why he has to be mefer? Because hadafa. She might make more than the usual, which Rabbi Kiva held. The hadafa is hers. It's not his. And therefore, it's not automatically his, and therefore he would have to be made for it. Now, that is what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri argues, and he holds that, no, regards to the context of hadafa, the husband would not have to be made for it, because hadafa is also the husband's. Now, in regard to that context, you're going to say, oh, maybe it's only regard to that did Shmuel say that Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, but regards to the other component of his halacha, which is that he argued in the Tanakam and said that you have to be mefer, maybe regards to that, Shmuel did not hold like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. That you're right. You definitely do not have to do hafar like the Tanakam. Why? Because the neder is not even taking effect in the first place. Why? Because a person cannot be makdesh adav shelo b'la'ilam, which is essentially what the case is here. She didn't even have the earnings yet, and she's saying, whatever I'm going to make, it's forbidden to you. Fine. Your neder is not, it has no validity whatsoever anyway, because it's not bala olam yet. Now, and that is what the Gemara is saying. You're right. Shmuel didn't say like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who said that you have to be mefer, which was for a different reason. He said because of when there's going to be a divorce, then it's going to take effect. Then, again, obviously, a divorce label olam. Then you're going to run into problems, so therefore be mefer now. Shmuel wasn't agreeing to that part. When the Tzalacha was like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, was just in the point of contention of Rabbi Kiva, who said to be mefer for a different reason because of hadafa, and then Rabbi Yochanan Nuri argues, and that is what he holds like him, because he holds that hadafa is actually not like Rabbi Kiva that it's the woman's, but rather it's the husband's. And for that is what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds. You don't have to be mefer for that. And that is what Shmuel is agreeing to. But not regards to davish label olam, that he holds like we see by Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, that you can't be makdish davish label olam, and really the neder is not even the neder anyway. That the Gemara says, if so, then the words of Shmuel should have been differently. It should have said either Lema Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri b'hadafa. Then it should have been limited and said it in within the framework that he's passing. Like Shmuel should have just said the Halacha is like k'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri in regards to the Halacha that they contend of hadafa, meaning to say that it's not the woman's but the husband's. But to say Halacha is like k'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri like a blanket statement, that doesn't sound like it's just in hadaf. It sounds like in this primary halacha, which was that you have to be mefer, which would again indicate that you could be makdish davar shelo b'la'ilam. Or inami, or a different way that Shmuel should have phrased it was halacha ketanakama. He should have said, actually, halacha is like tanakama, who says that you don't have to be mefer, which would have been better for Shmuel, because, yeah, why does the Tanakh come hold you don't have to be mefer? Because a person cannot be makdash davar shleib l'olam. And moreover is that, and you would see the other point too, that who he agrees to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri on that, that Hadafah is the husband's anyway, so there's no reason to be mefer. That would have been more ideal than saying like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, which would only be in a limited context, when the Tanakham is essentially saying this point. Or Iname, or another approach is, and our Girsa is like that of the Ran, that the word Ein is part of the Girsa, or Ein Halacha Rabbi Akiva, should have said the Halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, which again would have been better, because that would have sounded like the Halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva in any one of his two components. Not in this that he says that you have to be Mefer, because actually you do not need Hafar according to Shmuel, because a person cannot be Makdash or Davish or Label Oilam, again like Rabbi Yechon and Hassanba, who Shmuel passes like in the Mishnah Masechet Ksubas, and neither in what Rabbi Akiva says that the Hadafah is hers, because that's also not true. Rather, that's like the husband, which is what we're trying to say, is what Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is saying. But to say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechon and Nuri doesn't seem to indicate that it's just in regards to Hadafah, because or else any one of these other three options would have been better. Sounds like he holds like the whole halacha of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, which again is that you have to be mefer. Why do you have to be mefer? Right now it's not taking effect because of when it could take effect. But that's shalei b'lo ilam. So you see that you could be makdish dava shalei b'lo ilam. That contradicts Shmuel's other halacha like Rabbi Yechim and Nesamla that a person cannot be makdish dava shalei b'lo ilam. So Ela Amar Reisav, rather Reisav gives a different interpretation in to resolve this contradiction in Shmuel's halachas. And essentially what Reisav is saying is that what's the question? You're asking from the halacha of Rabbi Yechon Hassanlo in the Mishnah Masechet Ksubas, which in regards to Hekdish, to the halacha of Shmuel in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Menuri, which is the halacha of Kainamis, that seemingly you could be Makdish Tavish Leibelayla. And that is what Rabbi Yechon is saying, that that's not a difficulty. Because although, yes, there is similarities, and we always say that between Kainamis and Hekdish, but there's a fundamental difference which will help resolve this contradiction in the halacha of Shmuel. And that is, although you're right, that a person cannot be makdish davish leibel ha'olam, again, and Shmuel agrees to that, which is halacha of Rabbi Yechon Hassanler, but a person could be oiser davish leibel ha'olam, in other words, a person could make a kainim like Rabbi Yechon and Ben Nuri, even though it's not in that person's reality. Why? What's the difference? So Rabbi Yechon says, shani kainamis, the halacha of our Mishnah of a kainim, of a neder, is different, and that is because we find a halacha component that applies by kainamis, which does not apply by Hekdash. And that is, although by Hekdash, a person cannot make someone else's produce Hekdash. You can't say, oh, your fruits are Hekdash. What do you mean? It's my fruits. You can't be Makdash my fruits. But by Kainamis, you actually could. How so? You could say, your produce, it's Kainam. It's Hekdash. Not the classical Hekdash, but it's Hekdash to me. I can make your fruits forbidden to me. That's what a nether is. So therefore, so Rabbi Yisrael says, "Aisinami davish shalay b'la'ilam alav." So that's why a person could also make something that was not even in the world yet also forbidden to him. And the reason being is conceptually, someone else's produce to this person is the same thing, like a davish shalay b'la'ilam. Meaning, because they both share this common characteristic, that you it has no relevance to you, and therefore there's no contradiction. You're right. Rabbi Yechon Sandler says regarding the halacha of Hekdish and Shmuel Paskins like that, you can't be Makdish something that wasn't Bala Olam yet. But that's because just like by Hekdish, you can't make something that's not in your domain, which is what Shalei Bala Olam means, or like if it's someone else's thing, you can't be Makdish it. But just like we see by Kainam is by Neder, that you could make someone else's thing forbidden, which is not in your domain, it's not in your Olam. So therefore the same thing would apply. Even something that's Shalei Bala Olam at all, the reality hasn't come yet, you could create a kainim, as we see that precedent regarding someone else's produce, which applies by kainim, but not by hektish. So the same thing is for davar shalei b'la'ilam, that it would apply, that you could be make the kainim, like Rabbi Yechon and Ben-Nuri in our Mishnah regarding kainamis, even shalei b'la'ilam, in Shmuel Pashtun like that, even though, like Rabbi Yechon and Sandler, Shmuel would agree, regarding hektish itself, you cannot by davar shalei b'la'ilam. Now in that, Abaya asks on Rabbi Yisuf's and rejects Rabbi Yisuf's interpretation. He says, you're right. Definitely that someone else's produce, it shares a common thread, a characteristic, like a davar shalei b'la'ilam. So you want to say, just like we find uniquely by kainim that you can make a neder in someone else's produce, which you cannot by hektish, so too for davar shalei b'la'ilam. But in that Abaya tells him, he says, actually, if you analyze the halacha that you're bringing from, I'll actually illustrate that your interpretation is incorrect. Why? Because By kainamas, you don't find that a person can make something else forbidden, meaning a neder, only if one of the two elements is in his domain, meaning either the object or the subject, either the produce that's being forbidden or the person that it's being forbidden on. Now, that's why Abai explains as follows. He says, look, Bishleima Adam Isa Peris Chavera Alav, you're right. A person could make someone else's produce forbidden on himself because although the produce is not in his domain, but his own body is in his domain, meaning himself. So that's why he could make it forbidden because one of the two variables is within his domain. Now, just like that, the same thing would be Shari Adam Isa Peris Aval Chavera. Why do we say this? Because the same thing is the other way around. A person can make his own produce forbidden on someone else, even though that other person is not his domain. That's him, not me. But since the produce is mine, so therefore what you see from the halacha is that one of the two is enough. Now from that, you could learn that you're right, that a person would be able to make a davar shelo b'la'olam forbidden on himself, because essentially that's the same characteristic as someone else's produce, which is not yours. So to our peiros that the label of oilam, it's also not yours, didn't come to the world. But you're right, that would work, because at least you are in your domain. So you can make yourself forbidden in someone else's thing, or something that wasn't bala oilam. But the point of Abai's question is, Ela yeser davar shaloi bala oilam al chaveroi? Would you entertain to think that you could make someone else's produce forbidden on somebody else? Which is essentially the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah. You have a woman over here that's prohibiting her earnings, which weren't bala oilam yet, so the earnings are not in her domain, and the subject of the neder is also not in her domain, which is her husband, not her. Now that you can't resolve to say that's going to be forbidden, because actually to the contrary, where you're coming from, Abai tells Rav Yosef, it actually would be permitted. Why? Shahari ein odem oisa peris chaver al chaveroi. We see that a person cannot make someone else's produce forbidden on someone else, and therefore, essentially, the same thing would apply to davar shelo b'la'olam al chaveroi, because, like, exactly from the logic that you're coming, you're equating peiros chaveroi to davar shelo b'la'olam. Now, just like you can't make someone else's produce forbidden on someone else, so too, which is the point of Abaya, you can't make a davar shelo b'la'olam forbidden on someone else, because then both variables are not in your domain. The produce is not in your domain because it's not b'la'olam, just like by peiros chaveroi, and therefore you can't make the other person forbidden with that person's produce. You can make it forbidden on yourself because then you're in your own domain. Or you can make someone else forbidden in your own pairs because the pair's in your domain. But the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the woman is making her ma'isei daim, which is a davar shelo b'la'olam. Hence, the pairs are not in her domain yet. And the one who she's being forbidden is neither herself, it's her husband, who's also not in her domain. So the Rabbi says you can't use that as an interpretation to say that kainamas is different than hektish to resolve the contradiction of Shmuel's halacha of Rabbi Yechaminu and Rabbi Yechaminu Sandler, because actually from where you're trying to prove kainamas being different, I can prove to you that kainamas is not that much different to allow to make someone else forbidden on something that's shalei b'la'olam. So then you're back to the question that you don't see kainamas being different in this regard of hektish, and therefore back to the contradiction that it's a davar shelo b'la'olam, and how could you make the kainam? So Ela Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, he says that actually our Mishnah, meaning the halacha that Shmuel is saying like Rebbeichem and Nuri, the interpretation is, Ba'imeris yikatru yodai lo'aisehen. She's not being makdash her earnings, which yes, that's lo'i b'la'olam. She didn't work that, she didn't make that thing yet. She's saying, my hands should be sanctified for the one who made them, meaning to heaven. Meaning, the yadayim ho'isna b'la'olam. The hands are already existent. Now, therefore, since the hands are around in the world, so therefore the husband's going to have to be mefer because it is a davar, it's a davar habala olam. Now, therefore, there's no difficulty because the truth is we hold like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, meaning Shmuel, that a davar shelo b'la'olam, a person cannot be makdish. But here, the halacha being like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri doesn't contradict that because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying a case that it's not a davar shelo b'la'olam, it's bala olam because it's the hands that will then make the ma'isei daim that she's being makdish. That's bala olam, that she can make forbidden on her husband. Now, although she cannot, because essentially she's meshubed her hands to her husband, but it's going to take effect when they get divorced because it's bala olam. Now, that's the Gemara's question. Gemara asks, b'chi amra hachi kadsha? Is it really true if she says these words? So again, you took care of the problem, let's say, of davar shelo b'la'olam, because her hands are already bala olam, but if she says this way, would it sanctify and make forbidden as a neder hamaisi adayim? But v'meshabdin yodeh labal. What do you mean? Her ma'isi yadayim are meshubet to her husband. In other words, as the Ran explains, the Gemara's question is, even if you say that a person could be makdish adav v'shalei b'la oilam, it would still be difficult. Because the words that you're saying essentially should not be a valid neder. Because even that mandama would agree that it's only when you say explicitly that this neder, which is shalei b'la oilam yet, should take effect on that thing at that time when it could take effect. For example, as the Mishnah says elsewhere, la'achash es gayer, after that I convert, or la'achash yechitz lech yevamech, after your yavam will do chalitza to you. But in general, when a person says such a phrase, it would sound like it's happening from now. Now, the difficulty that the Gemara is asking is, but that's not be'olam, that it should be chal. Because, in other words, a person is mishubed with her, a woman is mishubed with her ma'aseh yadayim to her husband. So how is it taking effect? How is it taking effect? Yes, your hands are ba'olam, so that's not our problem. It's not a davish le'ba'olam, but you're meshubid. So if you're meshubid, how is it taking effect? So that the Gemara answers, the Amr l'chi megarsha. She says that when I'm going to be divorced, now that's why it's going to work, because yes, she specified in her words that the neder should take effect at a time when it could take effect. So he said that does work within the framework of, let's say, being makdish a davish le'ba'olam. Because although you're right now can't take effect because she is meshubed, and although her hands are here, but even that's meshubed, so it can't take effect right now. That's not within our ability. And that Rabbi Yechiminari holds, no, they could take effect because she's saying it, let it take effect when there's a divorce. But that the Gemara still asks. Hashta mias le megarsha, but she's not divorced right now. And who said that when she says this, that it's going to work? In other words, what the Gemara is asking is that you resolved your opinion regarding if you hold that a person can be makdash adavish label oilam. In other words, so when a woman would say such a type of terminology, according to that mandam, it would work. Because what you're doing is you're saying that when there's going to be divorce, then it's able to take effect. My neder against the husband, because then it's not meshubit anymore, so then it's going to take effect. Fine. But what the Gemara's question is, according to the opinion that says that a person cannot be makdash adavish shaloi bala oilam, which is essentially what we're trying to resolve over here for Shmuel, because that's his two halachas, he holds a gerichin asanda, that you can't be makdash adavish shaloi bala oilam. So even if you say this, so the question is, how is it going to work? Even if he's saying by merisi katulay sehem, where okay, so the yadayim are here, so he took care of it on some level that the yadayim are here. So, but then the question is, so then you're really in a bind, you're between a rock and a hard place because. So if it is in the here and now, so that's how you're making a neder now, because a davish le'olam you can't be neder, but right now you're meshubed. And even if you're saying that let it take effect when they're not going to be meshubed, but the problem is, that's then, and this is now. And you could only be makdash, something that you could do now, and she can't be makdash that right now. So that's what the Gemara is going to continue on the next daf, with many different options and attempts to try to understand and define this halacha of Rehudin B'Rei Rishua, where it's somewhere, it's a comfortable medium where, yes, it is it's a davar habala olam because it's her hands right now. Now, whereas although her earnings right now, her hands are meshubet to her husband, but since her hands are hers, so therefore it could take effect at a certain point in time later when there's going to be a divorce, because right now there is still something within her ability to be considered hers. So that's going to be what the Gemara is going to explain on the coming daf, where although it is a bala olam, because her hands are something that are here, and also that she has some rights, and although he has rights, which would essentially make it that her neder taking effect is not bala olam, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss in the coming daf.